Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter the presence of our Lord on this day and offer him thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done for us. The announcements for this morning were on the screens as you were gathering, so I hope you had an opportunity to pause and see all of the things that are happening. This is, of course, a busy time of year, and we will have lots of announcements over the next several weeks as we move through the Advent season and toward Christmas. And in addition to everything that was on the screen this morning, there are announcements on the bulletin board downstairs of special services by neighboring congregations and concerts and bake sales that are happening throughout the community. So do take an opportunity as you leave worship on Sunday to take a look at the bulletin board there on the lower hall and make note of those things as well. This marks the first Sunday of the Advent season, and so this morning we, as we always do, we start Advent with the service of the Lord's Supper. For those who wish to be a little bit more contactless than the trays through the pews tend to be, there are a few of the pre-filled communion cups on a table at the back, and you may have noted that as you were coming in. You're free to grab one of those if you wish, but there are enough elements here for us all as well. And just a reminder to anyone, either here in situ or joining us on the live stream, because elements still go out to members of the congregation who are joining us virtually. Just a reminder that we take the wafer out first. It's held on by a thin piece of clear cellophane before we open the cup. Otherwise, you make a mess all over the place. So just a note for that. Next week is White Gift Sunday, and we will be receiving donations for both the Agape Center and the food bank there, and Baldwin House, which is our women's sanctuary here in Cornwall. So for Agape, any non-perishable food items would be greatly welcomed, and for Baldwin, we're looking for personal care items for women and for their children. A special service of what we've come here in Cornwall to call Quiet Christmas will be held on Wednesday the 18th of December at 7 p.m. And this is an ecumenical service. This year we're going to meet at Trinity Anglican at 7 p.m. on that evening. The Quiet Christmas is, different congregations call it different things. Some people call it Blue Christmas. The ministers who are sponsoring this service don't call it Blue Christmas because we just can't get Elvis out of our mind when we call it that. So other congregations call it Longest Night. It's a time for people who find that sometimes the rush of the Christmas season is just a little bit overwhelming, and especially those who are going through difficult times, either through a loss of a loved one that you experienced in the past year or more than that, or other things that just want you to slow down and have a little bit more quiet time for Christmas. So that service is Wednesday the 18th at 7 p.m. And note the announcement in the bulletin regarding the Canadian Federation University Women and their event on Friday evening from 6 to 8 at the Benson Center, which marks 16 days of activism against gender-based violence as we come up to the anniversary, 35th, I guess, anniversary of the shooting of the engineering students in Montreal. We continue in our world to struggle with the problem of gender-based violence. And if you want to donate lightly used shoes for that event, shoe slippers, boots, to be part of a trail that they are making there at the Benson Center, you can, I think, is the box still at the back? Did anybody notice this morning? They're probably, the box is at the back, and it will probably be there for a couple more days. So if you want to sneak them into the church office over the next couple of days, we'll make sure they get to the right place. And once the shoes are used for this purpose, they're going on to be donated. It's not a one and done sort of event. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning and say together the call to worship. The days are coming. Your salvation is nearing.
Teach us your paths as we wait on your coming promise.
The heavens are speaking. Your kingdom is arriving.
Strengthen our hearts as we wait on your coming promise.
The world is turning. New life is appearing.
Keep us alert as we wait on your coming promise.
We worship you with waiting hearts this day. Fill us with hope in this season. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of darkness, in these days marked by cold air and growing night, gather us in your secret place of holy waiting. Remind us that the dark is not empty. Show us where new life is already being formed for us and for our world. Reveal to us the fertile ground of our waiting, that we might bear witness to your incarnation among us, both now and in the days to come. Amen. And as we come in worship this morning, we begin with the Song of Praise, number 122 in the Book of Praise, O come, Emmanuel. And we will sing the first five verses of this hymn.
Captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile.
in this season, with so many voices, when so many voices wish to claim our attention, our time, and our dollars. At this font, one voice claims our whole lives, soul, body, heart, and mind. In humility, let us confess our faults to the voice who proclaims our forgiveness, as we say together, Lord, have mercy upon us. We are not ready for your coming. We live in sin, as though there were no justice. We live in fear, as though there were no grace. Forgive us, Lord. Show us your mercy and steadfast love. Lead us in your truth and teach us your paths, for you are the God of our salvation. Amen. Friends, as sure as the fig tree blossoms, so sure is the salvation of our Lord, poured out for the world in Jesus Christ. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And throughout the season of Advent, as we come, we will be singing this hymn as part of the candle lighting liturgy this year. The people in people in darkness are looking for light. And as we move through the weeks, the hymn will get longer. For this week, we will sing the first verse, if you wish to follow along in your hymn books at number 124, or alternatively, it will appear before you on the screens.
As we enter the season of Advent, we remember God's call to seek justice in the world God loves.
We come longing for a brighter future for all.
We light the first candle of Advent, a symbol of God's hope which shines in the darkness.
May the light of this candle ignite a fire within your people, who are often afraid or hesitant to work for change.
Holy One, strengthen us by your Spirit to commit ourselves to walking with those who are oppressed and marginalized.
May our actions reflect our hope, which transforms your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My Lord, what a morning, oh my.
For young people, they can leave for Sunday school now. And we will pray. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of your holy word, which gives us hope fresh to deal with the challenges of each new day. Let us hear with open ears your word for us in this season. We pray this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The second reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for some, for one another, and for all, and just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints.
This morning we sing the psalm, and there's a piece of music in your bulletin for those who like to follow music along. You will sing the refrain, which is the opening verse of Psalm 25. And we're going to sing it through, right now we're going to sing it through twice. So I don't know if Roy's got two slides for this or not, but we'll sing it through twice. The choir will sing it the first time, and then the second time you hear it, you can join in as well, and then we will proceed with the psalm.
Good and and upright, a gracious God, showing the way, guiding the humble to justice. Steadfast and kind your ways, O God, all who revere your covenant know your friendship.
And this morning's gospel lesson, taken from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. Let us listen for God's word to his people as it is given in Luke chapter 21 and beginning at the 25th verse. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them this parable. "Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this world, and the day that does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm lousy at naming sermons. Waiting for a miracle. Well, I guess we can. It's functional. But I think if you are on my Facebook page, I changed the sermon title as I was posting the service this morning to "A Weary World Rejoices." So you can use whichever one you wish this morning. I think "A Weary World Rejoices" gets us a little bit closer to the mark. I've been thinking a lot about prophets this week, the biblical prophets. 'Tis the season, after all. You see, the prophets have pride of place during this season of Advent and Christmas. As Christians, especially at this time of year, we read through the prophets as harbingers of the coming of Jesus Christ. And indeed, that's part of their role. We read, as we get further and further into the season, we will hear how the words that the prophets speak get echoed into the gospel story, especially in the coming of Jesus. And yet, For generations prior to the birth of Jesus, the writings of the prophets had relevance and significance all of their own for the Jewish people. Even then, the prophets proclaimed a message of hope. Many people read the writings of the ancient prophets and see in them some sort of foretelling of the future. We think that they had this special sense that allowed them to see what was going to happen. But the reality is that the prophets, rather than being able to tell the future, had the rare ability to address the present situation in which the lands of Israel and Judah, to whom they spoke, found themselves. The prophets spoke of the nation's sin into which God would come to bring restoration. So the prophets really weren't talking about the future. They were talking about the now and the faith that the people had and their knowledge about what God would do. And there is perhaps no greater speaker of the truth in the Old Testament tradition than the prophet Jeremiah, who we read this morning. Indeed, in chapter 1 of the book of Jeremiah, just to give a little bit of background, the prophet notes that before he was even born, while he was still in the womb, God knew him and formed him to take on this particular role, to be a truth teller of the world as it is and as it would become during his lifetime. And boy, did Jeremiah have a tale to tell. You see, Jeremiah lived in that time in Jewish history known as the exile, that period of approximately 200 years when the children of God lingered under the control of the great powers of the ancient Near East. Assyrians and Babylonians, Chaldeans and Egyptians, and even the Persians played a role in the lives of the people of God during that time. But one event more than any of the others defines Jeremiah's life and ministry. In the year 587, before the Common Era, the temple in Jerusalem fell. For those who were left behind in Jerusalem, after all of the leaders and all of the artists and anyone else who could imagine anything other than life under subjugation had been taken away, these people remained. And for them, all hope was lost. And Jeremiah was their prophet. The very idea that these were the people of God who had been given this land as a blessing, all of that was gone. And Jeremiah, throughout his prophetic writing, does not sugarcoat the reality. Jeremiah mourns the loss of the familiar in Jerusalem. He mourns the loss of everything that had given the people and their lives shape and meaning until that point in history. But here today, Jeremiah begins to look to the future. Despite all of the suffering and the sense of abandonment that was endured by the remnant people, Jeremiah today reminds them of the ancient promise once more. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, and says Jeremiah. The days are surely coming. When I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. God's promises are reset. once more, the Davidic monarchy is referenced here in these words of Jeremiah that we heard Laura read for us this morning. A monarchy that was defined not by might or captured land, but by the living out of God's justice and righteousness. Indeed, there's a little word play in there that speaks to the fact that as God reestablishes his kingdom, that the kings who have been faithful to his leading in the path will once more be restored as well. Old Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann notes that Jeremiah's greatest power, his superpower, if you will, is speech. The ability to articulate the loss of the familiar in Jerusalem and the ability to describe this new future. The ability to describe the world that is at hand is an unappreciated and unwanted skill. Oddly, the biblical prophets are probably more popular with us than they were with the people to whom they spoke. Theirs was not a welcome message. No one wants to be reminded of how far they have fallen from the idea, how much suffering and pain there really is in the world. I think we get that, don't we? In light of all the things that are happening in our world today and the seeming inability of our political leaders to address the challenges that lie before us, don't you just want to turn off the TV news every night and just pretend that none of it really matters? Sometimes maybe TV news is our prophet. How much then was Jeremiah like, you know, that cat in the cartoons, crying in the middle of the night, and you see the light come on in the window, and the window gets pushed up, and a shoe comes flying out and knocks the cat off of the fence. That's how welcome the prophetic message is. And yet, Brueggemann points out that in the absence of prophetic utterance, in absence of the speech that is so important for us to understand the prophet Jeremiah, all that is left, if there is no prophetic speech, is a message of accommodation. If we cannot identify the problems of our world for fear that the message will be too unpopular, then we can never imagine a future. We can never see the justice of God breaking in. I think we all sense that in the last couple of years, things are worse. I think that's the only way to say it. Worse. Not worse in comparison to something else, just as a state of being. Like Jeremiah, we seem to live in a world where all of the familiar, all of the things that made us comfortable seem to be lost. We do not know what to do with the homeless in our streets or the lines of people that wait outside food banks these days. We tell ourselves that we're much smarter than we used to be. Look at all the wonderful technology that we have. Indeed, just the other day, I saw a clip of Elon Musk musing about how he was going to make American education more efficient. He figured probably you only need to go to school till about grade 10. The last 2 years are a waste. And university, well, maybe a couple of years, but certainly not four. All in the name of something that we want to call efficiency. I'm not quite sure that works, but we might see. And yet, these big and persistent problems, despite the fact that we think we're smarter than we ever were, and we have all the wonderful technology that will solve all the problems of the world, we don't seem to be able to answer the problem of hunger or homelessness. Issues like climate change, have been chased away from the front pages of the newspaper to be replaced by inflation instead. And no one wants to acknowledge that everything will get more expensive when nature turns against us. Even as cities like Fort McMurray or Jasper burn to the ground. And the leaders that we depend upon for answers are too content sniping at one another than they are to work for a common solution. It is in times like this that we need a prophet. Hope can only well up when in our world when the truth is spoken. Buried deep within the Christmas anthem, O Holy Night, is the line, a thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Our hope as the Christian church, our hope is found in the recognition that the world in which we live is not the world as it is to be. That God has greater plans for us than this. But it all begins with the acknowledgement that in this world the power of sin is great, and all are made less than by its influence. But God is not content with that. God has seen this world at its best. As God created it, he declared it good. And we as God's faithful people cannot acquiesce to the gospel of accommodation. For if we do, then our faith is in vain and we are lost. Change begins by acknowledging that this is a broken world in need of hope. And it cannot fix itself. But we know that the God who created, the Christ who redeems us, will indeed come again. And when that happens, God's kingdom will indeed break in for good. And for good. And in that message, we find the thrill of hope. In that message, a weary world will rejoice. Thanks be to God. Amen. Rejoicing in the Lord always, we give thanks for the word that is made flesh. With grateful hearts, let us offer our whole selves to the Lord as we present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. God Most High, receive the gifts of our lives as an offering of gratitude for your grace. Overshadow us with your Holy Spirit, and let it be with us according to your word, that nothing will be impossible for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And before you sit, we'll just move right into the Nicene Creed. You guys can go. I always confuse the ushers when we do this. But we have the Nicene Creed to say, which I will ask you to stand so we won't wear out your knees. We'll say it now. The Creed is found at page 578 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. We join our voices with the Church of Christ across all time and space as we say these words. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus has prepared this table for all who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and who desire in obedience to him, are now invited to come with gladness to the table of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us join our voices in praise as we come to this table, singing the hymn 542. Let all mortal flesh keep silence. Number 542 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. Please be seated. And let us come in prayer, praying the great prayer of thanksgiving, which has been part of the liturgy of the Christian church for millennia. There are responses in this prayer, and they will appear before you on the screen, or it can be found at page 564 in the Book of Praise. We begin responsively. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God. We give thanks for your assurance that the days are surely coming when all the world will see the fulfillment of your promise of salvation. You alone are our righteousness, our only hope for justice and peace. Therefore, we praise you, joining the song of the universal church and the heavenly choir as we sing together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is Jesus Christ, our Savior. In Christ, the tree of life, we have seen the first fruits of your holy realm. Though heaven and earth may pass away, Christ's word will stand secure. And even now we look for the day of his coming in power and great glory. Remembering your goodness and grace, we offer ourselves to you with gratitude as we share this joyful feast. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make us one in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us to pray night and day that we may see you face to face. Strengthen us in holiness, faithfulness, joy, and love, so that we may be ready at the coming of the Lord. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we bless you, O God of glory, now and forevermore. Hear us as we continue in prayer, praying in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. Friends, hear these words of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, Christ took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Thank you. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant, sealed in Christ's blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Drink you all of it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. God, our provision, we rejoice that you satisfy our needs. By your presence in this meal, you have fed us and strengthened us as a mother nourishes her child. In this season of waiting, fill us with hopeful expectation that we may see the signs of your kingdom all around us, and rejoice in your coming salvation and glory. We pray all these things in the name of the triune God. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 110 in the Book of Praise. Come, thou long expected Jesus. Number 110 in the Book of Praise. Now let us go in peace, live in love, and seek to be holy in all that we do. And may the blessing of God keep you, the Holy Spirit cheer you, and Christ in glory greet you now and at the day of his coming. Amen.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.